Well, the subject today is prayer and how we can have a more effective prayer life, a more powerful prayer life, and we all need to pray more. We need to pray effectively when we do pray, and we need to have the assurance that God hears our prayers and God is inclined to hear the prayers of the righteous. And so as we look at this subject of prayer, it's a deep subject. We're going to take 2 or 3 weeks to look at it and how we can enhance our prayer life. And I'm going to look at some various aspects of it. And we're going to start off today in Matthew 6. And this is the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. And of interest to many people, I suppose, would be the first question is, how much should we pray? And if you are not a prayer warrior, if you don't have a regular prayer time, I suggest that you get one. Just set aside a certain time each and every day. For me, the morning works best in the quiet of the morning before the sun comes up generally. And if you have a prayer time, just commit yourself for the rest of your life to establishing that prayer time. Make that your prayer closet. You don't necessarily have to go into a closet, but it's certainly a good thing to have a place, a particular place where you can pray, where it's quiet. I usually pray in my room right after I get up out of bed, or short of that, I have a prayer partner that I meet with, and we pray together corporately, and then at night I pray before I go to bed. And I think it's important to have regular routines, regular rituals, not to be legalistic about it, but just to establish for yourself a discipline of the flesh. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, Paul told the Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. And so what he meant by that is that be in an attitude and a consciousness of prayer all the time. Don't let the day go by and just be conscious of the world. Don't get wrapped up in the details of the world and the details of business or sports or celebrity or whatever it is that the world wants to put upon us. Just be conscious of the fact that prayer can be made at any time. Intercession for your family, intercession for this nation, intercession for people that you're working with. And so when Paul said pray without ceasing, he meant that literally. He said to pray without ceasing, and he meant literally to pray without ceasing. And I think it's possible to pray for several hours a day when you have this consciousness that you're going to be in an attitude of prayer all day long, and you have to live in the world, and at the same time you can live in the world and not be of the world. Your focus can be on God, and at the same time you take care of the details of your life, whether it's business or farming or teaching or whatever it is, but just be in an attitude that you're just passing through, and that this world is not your home, that heaven is your home. And so when you come to the realization that you can be in an attitude of prayer all day long, it really starts to change your focus. Philippians 4:6 is another scripture that Paul gives us as he speaks to the Christians of Philippi. He said, be anxious for nothing, but in all things through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests known unto the Lord. And as we do that, as we think about being anxious for nothing, it's very easy to get consumed in worry and worry about our finances and worry about our children and worry about our family, worried about our health and all of these things, that many of which are out of our control. And if we are anxious for nothing, as Paul says, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And so first Paul is saying, be anxious, don't worry. And he says, turn that worry into prayer. And if you do that, if you're a big worrier, that means you can become a big prayer warrior. And if you're concerned about many things and have, you might say, a tendency to get preoccupied with details, minor details, and taking care of other people's business and the world and all these things, Paul just says, put that into prayer. And turn everything into prayer and supplication, which is a plea for mercy before God, but with thanksgiving. In other words, give thanks for every little thing. And as you give thanks for every little thing, then God will turn your worry into gratefulness. He'll give you a heart of gratitude, and that worry will eventually fade away, and it'll shrink away, and after a while you won't be worried, and you won't be singing that worried song. You'll be singing a song of praise. You'll be singing a song of thanksgiving. And as you do that, as you sing a song of thanksgiving, your attitude will improve. Your heart rate will improve. Your cholesterol might even go down. Your ulcer might go away. Your arthritis might diminish. You just don't know what might happen when you start to give God thanks for every little thing. And you know, Malachi 4 says that those that fear the Lord, the Son of Righteousness, will come with healing in his wings, and you will go forth like a newborn calf skipping from the stall. And so as you go forth like a newborn calf, you're going to be overjoyed at just seeing that sun come up. You're going to be overjoyed at seeing that green grass out there in the pasture, the nourishment and the sustenance that it provides. And so just get in the habit of thanking God for everything. Get in the habit of taking your worries to God in prayer. And if you do that, brother and sister, I guarantee you that your attitude is going to improve, and also you will feel better. You'll not be burdened down by a lot of details that don't amount to a whole lot. And God, in verse 7 in Philippians 4, says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And so as this world becomes more full of chaos, as this world becomes more full of disorder and calamity, and as the days of Jesus' return approach, and Satan understands that his days are limited here, that his time is up, there's going to be a lot more disorder and calamity and chaos. And so if you don't have your prayer shawl on, brother and sister, and you're not in your prayer closet every day, you need to be, because that is going to be the only thing that's going to settle your jangled nerves. That's going to be the only thing that's going to settle down your ulcer. And there isn't a pill for every little anxiety in life. There isn't some kind of magic potion that some doctor can just wave over you and take your anxiety away and take your frustration and your pain away. And so if you take it to the Lord, just get in the habit of taking it to the Lord, then that which is bothering you, God will take that burden. He says he carries our burden daily, and I believe that he does. I stand on that promise that he makes, that he carries our burden daily. And so I'm more than willing to give it to him. I'm more than willing to say, "Lord, you can have it. I don't need it. And if you say you can take it, I'll trust that you can." So the peace that passes all understanding comes from a relationship with Jesus Christ and prayer to God, his Father. And Jesus said in John 14:6, we know that he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me." And so, you know, one of Jehovah Father God's names is Jehovah Shalom, which is God of peace. Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. And so if you want that peace that comes from knowing Jehovah God and his Son Jesus Christ, you have to have a relationship with him. You have to spend time with him in prayer, spend time in Bible study, spend time in fellowship with the saints. And if you're isolated out there and spending all day on the internet, or you're isolated and spending all day sitting in front of the TV worried about your finances, or worried about your children or your problems or your job or whatever it is that has consumed you with worry, just turn it over to the Lord and get a relationship started with Jesus Christ and Jehovah God, his Father, and the Holy Spirit will bring that peace to you. The Holy Spirit is the counselor, and he will counsel you into the truth in all things. Jesus tells us in John 16:13, he will counsel us into the truth of all things, even that which is yet to come. And so you can know through prayer. When you spend time in prayer, you can know, because the Holy Spirit will give you revelation. The Holy Spirit will give you counsel, even of things yet to come. And maybe so those decisions that you anguish over and that you worry about, and you maybe don't have all the facts, you don't have all the different considerations and angles that you would like to have to make a decision. But when you spend time in prayer, Holy Spirit, the Spirit of intercession, the Spirit of our advocate, that Spirit of our comforter, he will counsel you in the truth of all things. and you will make decisions that bring glory to God. You will make decisions that honor God in your life. Well, as we look at the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray, as you have your Bible there open to Matthew 6, Jesus says here in verse 8, therefore, don't be like the Gentiles. Well, let's start in verse 7. When you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way, Jesus said, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, as Jesus taught the disciples to pray, there in verse 9, he says, Pray ye like this, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And I think that's a prerequisite to any prayer. I think that's an understanding that we need to have, is that, you know, God isn't just an insurance policy. He's not just a Santa Claus up there in the sky. God is the creator of the universe. He created you. He knows your problems before you speak them. He knows what you need before you ask. He knows everything about you. He knows every cell, every hair on your head. He cares about you. He loves you. There is no aspect and no detail of your life that he does not care about. And so when you come to the realization that God knows your every want and your every need and every aspect of your life before you even start to pray, it really changes your perspective. But that does not mean that God does not want you to come to him in prayer. He does. And we need to come to him every day, and we need to honor him as our Father. Hebrews 11:6 says, Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For those who come to him must know that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so as we come to God in faith and we express our needs and our worship of him and our thanks and our gratitude and our desires, and maybe even not even to speak anything, maybe it's just to fellowship and be in relationship with him and to acknowledge him as our hallowed be thy name, as our Father in heaven, and just acknowledge him and then wait for him to speak to us, to acknowledge us as his children. And we can call him Abba Father, Paul says in Romans 8, that we can call him Abba Father. And so as we call him Abba Father, dearest Father, that's a term of endearment. That means that, God, we love you so much. We can call you Dear Daddy, and he loves to be in a relationship with us where we understand our dependency on him, where he can look at us and know that we cherish our relationship with him. And it's not necessarily about getting things from him. It's not necessarily about presenting him with a laundry list of things that we think we need, because many things, quite honestly, the men think they need, God doesn't think they need. And so, you know, God isn't always going to answer your prayers and give you everything that you ask for in the material realm. There's nothing that you need that God doesn't know that you need, and so he will give you that which you really truly need. You know, Jesus said there in the Sermon on the Mount that verse 27 in Matthew 6, he says, And which of you by being anxious can add a single cubit to your lifespan? Which of you, and why are you anxious about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory did not clothe himself like one of these. But if God so arrays the grass of the field, which is alive today, and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more do so for you, O men of little faith? And therefore, Jesus said in 6:31, Do not be anxious then, saying, What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or with what shall we clothe ourselves? For these things the Gentiles eagerly seek. For your Father, your heavenly Father, knows that you need these things. But seek his kingdom first, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore do not be anxious for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has trouble for its own. So Jesus is telling the disciples there, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And so I ask you today, brother and sister, what do you want added to you? Do you just want more money so that you can spend it on yourself? Do you want more money so you can go out and buy all the latest entertainment gadgets or take trips to just give yourself more pleasure and more leisure time? Jesus wants you to take that which he blesses you with and turn around and have you to bless the kingdom. And so as you think about your prayer life, as you come before God Almighty, hallowed be his name, the creator of the universe, think about putting him first in his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And so God's will for your life, brother and sister, is that you speak out for the kingdom. God's will is that you take the blessings that he has blessed you with, and you turn around and you bless somebody that doesn't have as much as you have, and then you turn around and do a kind deed for somebody on your block or somebody in your city or somebody in your family, or maybe just a total stranger, somebody you don't know anything about, and you see them in need. And God says, when you do that, when you expand the kingdom in my name and when you bring glory to me, God says, and I will bless you and I will raise you up and I will give those things that you need when you are taking care of others that I have given to you to take care of. Well, verse 10, back in Matthew 6, verse 10, it says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. God's will is that his kingdom come here on this earth. God's will is that his kingdom be established here on this earth. God has decreed and declared in heaven what his kingdom should look like. And it looked that way once upon a time before Adam and Eve fell, before they fell into sin. His kingdom here on earth looked the same way as it did in heaven, and that was God's will. It was his perfect will that Adam and Eve would not sin, but he gave them a choice just as he gives us a choice. But I do believe, brother and sister, when you choose Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that your eternal life and your eternal glory then is started at that moment in time, and you then begin to walk under a glory cloud that heaven comes down to earth just a little bit, and you can bring that glory cloud down around you. And it's God's will then that you operate in a realm of glory. And just as that peace overcomes you, as Paul talked about in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, as that peace overcomes you, there is a circle around you of glory and peace that the Holy Spirit establishes in your holy temple. And so it is a bit of heaven here on this earth, and not only can you affect your own life and your own holy temple, but you can also affect the lives of others, many others. And that is God's will, is that you move in his glory, in being bound in physical flesh, that you move in glory and operate in a bit of heaven here on this earth, even in this time when you are not in heaven eternally with the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ. And if that sounds a little bit too fantastic, a little bit too surreal for some of you, just start submitting to God. Just start walking with God in a way that's zealous and fervent, seeking him. Seek him first and his kingdom and his righteousness, and see what he adds to your life. Just test him. Test him. See if you can operate in a kingdom realm here on this earth, and just watch God work in your life. And I can assure you that as you do that, God will bless you in ways that you cannot imagine. He'll give you that peace that passes all understanding, and he'll take care of your every need, just as he promises that he will. Well, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And God's will is that every person on this earth would come to know him. God has not abdicated even one foot of this land. He has not turned over one single church. He has not turned over one single school or one single family to the enemy. It is his desire that all should come to know him. It is his desire that all the nations should serve him, that all the kings should serve him, that all the armies should serve him. It is his desire that peace and justice reign here on this earth. And so God's will is that his kingdom shall come here on this earth. His will be done right here as it is in heaven. And brother and sister, you can have a part in that. You can rejoice in knowing that you're part of the army of God. You're going to be on the winning side. You're going to be on the side of victory. And what a great day that is when Jesus comes back and gathers up his army and takes them home with him. And so you don't have to wonder, are you going to be on the winner's side or the loser's side? You can know today that you're on the side of victory, that you're on the side of righteousness, that you're on the side that you're going to be able to raise your finger and say, number one, we're number one. And as you do that, you will rejoice in knowing that you're siding with the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And as we approach this Christmas season, this time of rejoicing, we'll get stronger and stronger as we think about God sent his own Son, that we could know him in the flesh, and that he took our sins to the cross. And as we think about that, we rejoice just in knowing that we have eternal life, and thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, if you have not decided to follow Jesus, you need to do that. Accept him as your Lord and Savior. Turn your life over to him. Repent of your sins. Turn away from your wicked ways and turn to the Lord. And as you do that, God will bless you. He will give you assurance that you are his. If you make that decision, let me know, write me, or contact me through the internet. And I just rejoice in knowing that you are serving the Lord. If God is touching you in a special way, or there's some great victories going on in your life, let me know. Contact me. Drop me a line. Let me know what's going on in your life, and we can rejoice together. Well, thanks for listening today. Tune in next week. We'll continue on this subject of prayer. God bless you.